Today's reading of the epistle is taken from the book of Hebrews, and it's out of the normal order. November 13th every year is the commemoration of our Father among the Saints, John Chrysostom, who happens to be the author of the principal prayers of the Divine Liturgy that we do, you know, most of the year. So he's considered one of the, you know, huge saints of our church, not only because he wrote the Divine Liturgy, but also he was a great preacher, and we have the texts of sermons that he gave. The people recorded, you know, his sermons, and the church relies heavily, especially in moral teachings, dogmatic teachings, on the writings, you know, of St. John Chrysostom. That's why we celebrate him. So when it falls on a Sunday, like it does this year, the church, you know, we have to choose. Are we going to do the regular reading, or are we going to do the reading specific for the saint? And usually what happens is the epistle reading is taken for the saint, and then the gospel reading will be the regular one. So that's what happened today. The epistle reading from the Hebrews, this particular one is not in the book. And before I get to discussing the epistle reading, let me just tell you a few things about St. John Chrysostom. He actually died on September 14th, not November 14th. But because September 14th is already a big feast of the cross, the elevation of the cross, the church decided to move his feast universally now, all over, to this date so that it could be specially celebrated and not eclipsed by the great feast of the cross. Also, St. John Chrysostom wrote explanations of the epistles of St. Paul. And this is now, he wrote those in the 4th, 5th century. And if we didn't have them, some people say if St. John Chrysostom had not written these things down according to how he was, you know, taught and inspired, we may never have understood the epistles of St. Paul. Legend, the life of the saint says that he was spending hours and hours and hours by himself, you know, in his office, studying and writing these things, and his disciple, his assistant, you know, wanted to, time to eat or something, time to sleep, time to wake up, time to go to church, you know, he peeked in, and he kept seeing this sort of bald guy whispering in St. John Chrysostom's ear, you know, as he was writing. And every night, finally he said, who is that man you're consulting? He's, I don't know. So anyway, long story short, it turns out it was St. Paul, the soul of St. Paul, you know, speaking in the ear mystically and telling John Chrysostom, you know, the actual intent and meaning of his words, not some conjecture and what we might think they mean. So today's reading was selected because to honor somehow St. John Chrysostom. And it speaks about the kind of high priest that the Lord was. So if we just took it, you know, actually it's speaking about the Lord. Paul at that time is trying to convince the Jews, the Hebrews, how much more exalted Jesus Christ's high priesthood was than the high priesthood, you know, that the law of Moses ordained, you know, and that the salvation that the Lord worked was much higher and exalted. So that's what that's really about. But we can take part of that and say that it's actually describing what would make a good priest, what would make a good high priest. And those first four, I want to just discuss four terms. He said, this is the kind of high priest that we needed. One who was three things. And the English Bible that we have says sinless, blameless, and like spotless or untainted, something like that. Unstained. And I really want to go to the Greek words because I think that was, not that you can't translate the Greek correctly, I just don't think that this was translated as best as it could. So let's just delve into the words a little bit. First of all, high priest in Greek is archiereps, and that is a term that we also give to our bishops. They're called archiereps. We call them hierarchs, kind of reversing, you know, the parts of the word instead of arch, hierarch, higher arch, you know, whatever. So this then we can say applies to St. John Chrysostom. We can kind of try to make the connection. Although, like I said, literally this passage is referring to Christ, but we can now apply it to St. John Chrysostom. So he was patriarch of Constantinople. He says, this is the kind that we need, and this is the kind that we had in the person of St. John Chrysostom, one who is holy. Actually, the Greek word is osios. There's another Greek word for holy, agios. Okay? But here St. Paul said osios. And osios means someone who in his job leaves nothing undone, someone who is completely conscientious, someone who is completely devoted to his work and does it, and it's not... doesn't necessarily have a religious connotation, but we can make it a religious connotation. Okay, so osios means someone who, sometimes translated venerable, sometimes translated just or righteous, sometimes translated devout, but the point means devoted, conscientious, leaving nothing undone. The second word is translated as blameless. The Greek word is akakos. Akakos. So blameless may be like without blame, like innocent of any sin or anything. But actually, akakos means doing no evil. Doing nothing bad. We could say innocent, not in the sense of innocent or guilty, but innocent in the sense that, like, children are innocent. When we say the innocence, the holy innocence, the slaughter of the innocents, or, you know, the innocence, we mean no evil present. Not doing evil, not thinking evil, not wanting evil, not wanting revenge, not wanting, you know, like guileless. Not innocent in the sense of simple, you know, and naive, but just not doing evil. And the third Greek, the third one, which was unstained, probably the closest of the three, they got it right. The Greek word is amiandos. And there's an English word, miasma, which... amiandos means undefiled, untouched by any stain of immorality, any stain of corruption, whether it's political corruption or, you know, taking bribes or anything like that, as being completely irreproachable and spotless. So that was, because of those, that kind of description, whoever selected the passages felt, this is a good one for St. John Chrysostom. Not only St. John Chrysostom, it's this particular passage in Hebrews that is used to honor all saintly hierarchs when it's their feast. But as I said, it was intended by St. Paul to be describing our Lord, and our priesthood in the Christian church actually imitates the priesthood of the Lord, and we would want to aspire, we would want our clergy and our hierarchs to aspire, you know, to those high standards. So that's why it was selected, and that's what it means. Let's get up and pray.